This is the Hour of the Time, and I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, last night we started out with a replay of last Wednesday's portion of last Wednesday's broadcast because of transmitter problems. You were not able to hear that portion of that night's program, and then followed up with the first part of a new tape from Dr. Waller. And apparently a lot of you really liked it, and we're going to finish that tape today. Now, I backed it up about 10 minutes, so there'll be a little overlap so that you can catch again, just in case you've forgotten where it left off yesterday, the continuity of what Dr. Wallach is talking about. And so we'll begin that right now, and when it is finished, then we'll open the phones and take your calls. So make sure you have pen and paper ready. You're going to want to jot some of this stuff down. And listen, throughout the broadcast, I will be giving out two telephone numbers for you to call if you would like to receive more information on Dr. Wallach and how his techniques and how his knowledge can benefit your own personal health, like it has mine. I got to tell you, I'm a new man after I've been taking his stuff for quite a while. It even brought back my black hair. I don't have that white on my on the sides of my head anymore. And that's nice. I even was given a pretty good compliment a couple of weeks ago. One of the women that I know told me that I really look young now. Now, I can't see that, you know, because I'm with me every day, but she hadn't seen me for a while, and that's what she said. But anyway, I feel healthier than I felt in years. My legs don't hurt anymore, and I've got the energy back that I was losing. And losing, heck, I'd lost it. I mean, I just didn't have any energy anymore. I used to stay up late at night, and I did my best work until the wee hours of the morning. All of a sudden, I was getting sleepy at 8 o'clock, and if I wasn't in bed by 9 or 10, then then wherever I was at, that's where I slept. But not anymore. So pay attention. I hope you learn. I hope that you take the steps that you need to take if you need to improve your health. And I hope it works as well for you as it has worked for me and for many other people.
Considering us. Now, as we've learned tonight, the media is interested in what you're interested in because it sells newspapers, so to speak. They sell a lot of newspapers. They have a nice story, and everybody runs out to get one. If you hear a radio program that everybody's interested in, they sell more advertisements. So this is why you hear a lot of health programs on radio and on TV, and you see it in newspapers and magazines. And my personal favorite of all the health articles was this one here, April 6, 1992, a little over 4 years ago. It was the first time that the subject of vitamins and minerals was treated in a positive way by any mainstream publication. Time magazine, no less, cover. It says, the real power of vitamins. New research shows they may help fight cancer, heart disease, and the ravages of aging. Prior to this article, mainstream magazines would only say things like, well, vitamins and minerals are quackery and hoax and fraud, charlatanism. Nobody needs those things. You can get everything you need from your four food groups. Now, if you haven't read that article, again, April 6, 1992, I'd urge you to go to the library, public library, school library, dig it out and read it. There were six positive pages. There was only one negative sentence, and as you might guess, it was offered by a medical doctor who was asked by the writer of the article, what do you think about vitamins and minerals for human nutrition? Here's what he said, quote, popping vitamins doesn't do any good, sniffs Dr. Victor Herbert, a professor of medicine at New York City's Mount Sinai Medical School. We get all the vitamins we need in our diets, and taking supplements just gives you expensive urine, unquote. Now, Missouri translation of that is, you're just peeing away your money. Might as well wad up your dollars and throw them in the toilet and flush them away. You know, get everything you need from your four food groups. That little sentence has killed more Americans than all of the foreign enemies with their rifles and artillery put together. You can get everything you need from your four food groups. It is not true. Believe me, it's not true now. And I can guarantee you, after having done those 17,500 autopsies and over 454 species of animals, plus 3,000 human beings for a comparison, having practiced for 12 years in Portland, Oregon as a general family practitioner, pushing 60 myself and having kids this tall and grandkids this big and not too distant future great-grandkids, I'd rather pee out 50 cents or a dollar a day worth of excess vitamins and minerals. That's cheap insurance. If you don't invest 50 cents or a dollar a day in yourself, as sure as God made little green apples, you're going to invest in the lifestyle of a medical doctor. Because when you pay them hard cash out of your own pocket, or indirectly through insurance, or indirectly through taxes and Medicare, not a single penny of that goes to better understand, manage, treat, prevent, or cure catastrophic diseases in kids, breast cancer in women, prostate cancer in men, diabetes, heart disease, cataracts. It pays the doctor's mortgage. It pays the doctor's mortgage. No matter how you're struggling with your bills, it pays the doctor's mortgage. And when you pay the doctor after the second week of the month, you're paying his Mercedes payment. You pay the doctor after the third week of the month, you're paying the tuition for their kids to go to medical school at Harvard. Or worse yet, Yale Law School. Other name is a bunch more Yale lawyers running around. We got a whole White House full of them, and look what's going on in there. Thank you. Well, we could get into that. I mean, that's why they call me the Rush Limbaugh of alternative health. Okay. Now, one of the things that I used to do for my patients was send them a 2-cent photocopy, a little article they'd find in newspapers and nutritional journals and medical and veterinary journals, things that they could do themselves, nutritionally or with herbs or whatnot. And it got to be quite a thing. 250,000 people a month, one of these 2-cent photocopies. So I turned it into a magazine that comes out every couple of months. And I'm going to show you what I used to give my patients and what you two can get. Let's start out with cancer, the number 2 killer of adults in the United States. If you take nothing else home tonight but this piece of information, it was worth your coming. This little study was done by the National Cancer Institute. And they went to Henan Province, China, for 5 years. And they chose Henan Province, China, because it has the highest rate of cancer and cancer deaths in the whole world. They took 29,000 apparently healthy people, ranging in age from 40 to 69, and they divided them up into little groups and gave each group a different vitamin, different mineral, sometimes combinations of vitamins and minerals. And after 5 years, they untangled the study, and here's what they found. If you got a single nutrient, not much positive happened when it came to reducing the death rate from cancer. And not too surprising, vitamin C didn't do much by itself. Linus Pauling took 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day for 35 years, still died of cancer. Retinol or vitamin A didn't work. Zinc, riboflavin, the trace mineral, molybdenum, niacin, none of these things worked as single nutrients. But one group showed significant benefit. They took 3 nutrients, double the American RDA, I mean a pitifully low dose, double the American RDA, 20 cents a day, beta-carotene, vitamin E, and the trace mineral selenium, and they showed a reduction in deaths from all causes by 9%. This included suicide and pneumonia and car wrecks and cancer and diabetes and heart disease and aneurysms and whatnot. Reduced deaths from all causes by 9%. They reduced all cancers, regardless of the type of cancer, by 13%. And the type of cancer most prevalent in Henan Province, stomach and lower esophageal cancer, they reduced by 21%. Saved almost 1 out of 4 simply by taking in 3 nutrients, beta-carotene, vitamin E, and selenium. Now, don't wait for your doctor or your government to give you this information. If they haven't already yelled at you or sent you an urgent healthogram or had their nurse call you, they're not going to do it. I mean, we're talking, this was 2.5 years ago. So that you need to just take the bull by the horns and do it yourself. Now, my very favorite disease, I call it my favorite disease, if you can have such a thing as a favorite disease, is arthritis. And the reason why I like arthritis, it very clearly shows people what they can do for themselves. And once you get enough confidence in dealing with a disease, you say, well, gosh, maybe I can be this good working with another one, and so on. And so it kind of gives you that confidence you need to make some decisions on your own without having to ask a doctor for everything. Now, there's not a single medical treatment designed to fix arthritis yet. 75% of all Americans over the age of 50 get it to one kind or one degree or another. And according to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, over the next 7 to 10 years, 35 million baby boomers, of whom there's quite a few in this room, are going to get it. There's not a single medical treatment designed to fix it. By contrast, in veterinary medicine, we're encouraged to find nutritional formulas that are designed to prevent and cure all kinds of diseases in animals, including arthritis. So the advantage my patients had was, I'm a veterinarian as well as a physician, so I went into my veterinary background and I took all these veterinary formulas designed to prevent and cure arthritis in chickens and turkeys and pheasants and pigeons and dogs and cats and sheep and pigs and horses and cows and lions and tigers and bears and adapted them to human use. And I came up with what I called Dr. Wallach's pig arthritis formula. Not because there's any pigs in there, but because It was used to prevent and cure arthritis in pigs. Now, this little formula, over the last 20-plus years, I have literally seen regrow cartilage and bone in literally tens of thousands of people. Right now, there's over 250,000 people a month using Dr. Wallach's pig arthritis formula, and it's going up at a rate of 3,000 to 4,000 new people a month. And the reason is, of course, it works. Now, the medical profession would differ with this. They'd say, now, Wallach, that's absolutely not true. Everybody knows you can't regrow cartilage and bone. When you have bone-to-bone arthritis, the only thing left for you medically is to have joint replacement surgery. And I'd have to agree with them. That if the only raw materials you're using is aspirin and Tylenol and gold shots and methotrexate and prednisone and cortisone, you're not going to regrow cartilage and bone because those are not the raw materials to do it. They have many, many side effects, many of which are fatal. When these things over the counter and prescription medications don't work anymore to relieve pain and inflammation, the only thing left for you medically is joint replacement surgery. And these procedures are all directed towards relieving pain. I mean, it's such a terrible, painful disease that people are willing to let surgeons cut out their knees and their hips and their shoulders in any attempt to relieve pain. So I came up with Dr. Wallach's pig arthritis formula. Well, Harvard Medical School has laid in the bushes for me for 25 years. And he said, ha, we've finally found a way to prove that Wallach is a quack and a fraud and a charlatan because everybody knows you can't regrow cartilage and bone. And they took what they thought was the most ridiculous one-third of Dr. Wallach's pig arthritis formula, and they gave it to 29 patients who had failed to respond in any way to heroic medical treatment for arthritis over 15 to 20 years. They took them off all their medication, wasn't doing them any good anyway, and the only thing left for them medically was joint replacement surgery. And they gave them a heaping tablespoonful of ground-up chicken cartilage and orange juice every morning for 90 days, just 3 short months. And here's what happened. After 10 days, they had complete relief of pain and inflammation, something they hadn't had in 15 to 20 years. In 30 days, they could now open up a new pickle jar that never had been opened without pain to the fingers, wrists, elbows, and shoulder. And in 90 days, just 3 months, according to Harvard Medical School, not me, 28 of the 29 were clinically cured. Now, you'd think they'd call me up and say, Wallach, we got to apologize to you. Hey, next time you come to Boston, come on in, we'll buy you a lobster dinner. You know, because, gosh, even the most ridiculous one-third of your pig arthritis formula did some good. That's not what happened. Don't be too surprised. Here's what the medical director, the guy who's a professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School in Boston, here's what he said, quote, after 3 months, it was clear that the drug was beneficial, unquote. Chicken cartilage had become a drug in 90 days. Now, why would you think that would happen? Well, because you can't patent chicken cartilage. So they went out to the U.S. Patent Office and they got a use patent on chicken cartilage. And you two now, for $3,500 a month, can get Harvard Medical School's chicken cartilage in a capsule, arthritis cure. $3,500 a month. So if this sounds a little pricey to you, all you have to do is go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, buy a $5 bucket of chicken, throw away the meat, and eat the ends off the bones. It's the same stuff. Now, if you have several people in your family, that could get a little pricey, you know, if you have arthritis. What you want to do then is go to the dumpster behind the KFC in the dark of the night. Take your kids or your grandkids, give them an empty 5-gallon feed bucket, put them in that dumpster, let them scoop out the bones for you, and take them home, put those bones on a cookie sheet, put them in an oven, bake them dry, pound them into a flour with your own ball peen hammer, and then fill those chicken, those capsules yourself. And you just don't want to let anybody know what you're doing, because if the word gets out, Francine is making chicken cartilage capsules, curing everybody in the neighborhood of arthritis, the FDA is going to come arrest you in your house for manufacturing a patented drug. Or worse yet, they'll send Janet to save you from yourself, and she'll burn your house down. So if you want to avoid all these legal entanglements, and you don't want to get all those gushy chicken bones all over your house, all you have to do is go to a good grocery store and get yourself some either Knox gelatin or Willamette Valley gelatin, unflavored and unsweetened. It's the same stuff as the chondroitin sulfate in there, which is the basic building block to rebuild cartilage and bone matrix, bone foundation. If your neck sounds like a bag full of gravel, you got low back problems, loose teeth, and all those kinds of things, I'm going to give Dr. Wallach's pig arthritis formula a try. I'll give you the full formula at the end. Another one of my favorite diseases is Alzheimer's disease. It's a physician-caused disease. Pretty powerful statement. It's a physician-caused disease. We didn't have Alzheimer's disease 40 years ago. It was not in any medical dictionary, medical textbooks. It was not taught in any medical class. It only became a disease entity in 1979. Today, according to Ralph Nader, it rivals cancer in cost, $300,000 per patient, and it's the number 4 killer of adults over the age of 65, behind cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, then comes Alzheimer's disease. Now, we eliminated Alzheimer's disease from animals some 40 years ago. Can you imagine a dairy farmer with 400 head of cows out in the pasture with Alzheimer's disease? He's yelling at them, woo! And rattling the feed bucket, trying to get them up to get milk. And the cows are all out there scratching their heads saying, why do we want to go to the barn to get milk? And if we did, where is the barn? Because he gets kind of, So the farmer has to put fuel in the ATV and ride out there and herd them up. And the fuel cost goes up, labor cost goes up, so they have to raise the price of milk. Nobody's happy. So we eliminated Alzheimer's disease by eliminating vegetable oil, corn oil, and soil from the animal's diet and putting in large doses of vitamin E and selenium. Well, this is one of those 2-cent photocopies you should have gotten from your doctors 3.5 years ago, almost 4 years ago now. This is not from the National Enquirer. This is from the University of California, San Diego School of Medicine, a very reputable research institution. And it said, vitamin E can ease memory loss in Alzheimer's patients. And I don't know how many of you saw that little article, and I'm waiting to get a copy of it so I can make another overhead. Just last week, from one of the English universities, and came out and said, people take in 800 units of vitamin E every day. The odds of them getting a heart attack or Alzheimer's disease is almost zero. Alzheimer's disease is an American disease. It does not occur in third world countries. It does not occur in Europe. It's an American disease. It's because all our doctors, well, I'll tell you in a minute. I'll prove it to you in a minute. This physician-caused disease. How many of you have heard, whether you believe it or not, that vegetable oils are healthier for you than a terrible saturated animal fat? Whether you believe it or not, raise your hand if you've heard it. That's pretty good, about 50%. The other half of you are either asleep, lying, or have Alzheimer's, because I know you heard it. Now, we learned 50 years ago in the animal industry that vegetable oils were bad for you, because we tried to get animals to gain weight faster by giving them 20% and 40% of their ration as corn oil or soil, because it has double the amount of calories as does cracked corn. Oils have 9 calories per gram and carbohydrate-type calories from either beet pulp or cracked corn has something like 4.5 calories per gram. And sure enough, for the first couple of weeks that animals were on the oil, they gained weight many times faster than ones just getting carbohydrate calories. But in 6 weeks, they all died of heart attacks. So we knew it was a good idea. It went bad somewhere. And they said, well, what do we do with this stuff? No farmer is dumb enough to give it to his livestock anymore. They said, look, we've contracted with farmers to grow millions of tons of corn oil and soil every year for the next 50 years. What do we do with this stuff? They said, well, it's not proven in human beings yet that it's dangerous. Let's convince people that vegetable oil is good for them. And they've done a pretty good job over the last 35, 40 years, haven't they? All you got to do is go into the dairy case. I mean, this is really blatant. You go to the dairy case in the grocery store and you find 85 brands of corn oil margarine. In the dairy case, that's how much they brainwash people. If you've gotten this information 3.5 years ago, vegetable oil can cause heart disease. It's a nightmare, said Dr. Edward Emkin, a specialist in food oils for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And it's really a nasty thing to try to explain. There's now total confusion for consumers. Why would there be total confusion for consumers? Well, that's because the truth is different from what you've been taught for 35 years. Here's another look at the same problem. Margarine can increase your risk of heart attacks. A lot of people say to me, well, I've got a whole freezer full of tub margarine. Can I use that? Tub margarine, thick margarine, doesn't matter. It's the same thing. This is what they call the Harvard Nurses Health Study, and they took 90,000 nurses over 20 years, divided them into two groups. Put one group on margarine as their spread for their crackers and bread and cooking shortening. Put the other 45,000 nurses on butter for their spread and their crackers and bread and cooking shortening. At the end of the 20 years, they looked at their death certificates, and for every 100 nurses who had died of a heart attack, 70 of them were in the margarine group. They had 2.5 times greater risk of dying of a heart attack if you used margarine than butter. Now, the biggest fraud ever perpetuated against the American people, the biggest fraud ever perpetuated against the American people is this cholesterol thing. This is one of those 2-cent photocopies you should have got from your doctor 3.5 years ago. Top researchers reluctantly admit that low levels of cholesterol are bad for you. Low levels of cholesterol are worse for you than high levels of cholesterol. This is from the University of California at San Francisco, a researcher who is renowned as the top medical researcher on cholesterol and cardiovascular disease. His name is Stephen B. Hulley. Here's another look at the same study 3.5 years ago. Here's what he said. Quote, what it comes down to is there's an extraordinary set of observations that have emerged this year because for the first time we have a large enough study to really see them. What he said there was, for 40 years we've been giving you caca. Stuff that's in baby diapers. And We didn't really know the truth about cholesterol, so we made stuff up. Just we thought it was good for us, so we made stuff up. But now after 20 years, we finally have the truth. Now, why on this God's green earth would anybody want to have a blood cholesterol below 180? Always because a doctor instructed you or ordered you to do it. Now, about 7 years ago, actually it was May 1st, 7 years ago, I began lecturing 300 nights out of each year like this all across the country. And in the beginning, the crowds were just three people. Then it was 20, and then 50, and then 100. And for the last 5 years, it's been hundreds. And the interest is growing, people doing things for themselves. And my wife said, look, I'll support you on the field if you want to do that for 7 to 10 years. But it's going to, you know, it's going to take a lot of toll on you, eating hotel food and having weird hours and driving all night to get from one place to another. What I want you to do, if you're going to do this, is to have yourself a hobby. And every time you feel yourself really getting so warped out that they're going to come after you with a butterfly net or a straitjacket, study this hobby and get yourself calmed down before you get in front of an audience. And say, well, that's good advice. I'll do that. But after the hundreds of different things I looked at, I settled on collecting obituaries of medical doctors as my hobby. Now, the reason was, of course, it's a very useful piece of information. If doctors knew what they were talking about when it came to health and longevity, if you separate them out from the rest of the American population, they should be healthier and live longer than anybody else. And boy, was I surprised. I started out 100 years ago, June 15, 1895, in JAMA, which is the premier medical journal in the world, actually, Journal of the American Medical Association. And they did a survey 100 years ago on deaths in American doctors. What they found out, the average lifespan of medical doctors 100 years ago was 54.6. 54.6. The average population in America, the average lifespan was 62. Now, they were in trouble then. 100 years later, January of 1993, I redid the study using obituaries from the Journal of American Medical Association, just like they did originally. And guess what? The average lifespan for medical doctors today is 57.6. I gave them the benefit of the doubt and rounded it up to 58. The average lifespan for the average American is 75.5. You gain almost 20 years statistically by not going to medical school. So I brought you a few of my favorites so you can see what fun I'm having. And, of course, all of these are physicians who have died of nutritional deficiency diseases. Stuart Cartwright, age 38, was a family practitioner, good-looking kid. I'm sure he could have been a movie actor if he wanted to. I promise you he married the prom queen, and he probably had a Mercedes convertible in Southern California, probably never repaid a student loan, all the things that medical students put on their list of wishes. And he dropped dead in his home from a ruptured coronary artery aneurysm. And the fascinating thing to me is this is something we learned in Turkey in the 50s, 1957, how to prevent in the early stages reverse aneurysms. And of course, this was from a study of 250,000 turkeys. The USDA put on a complete turkey pellet, trying to get these turkeys to finish for market within a week or two of each other, as opposed to strung out all over the whole summer when they're on pasture. And in the first 13 weeks, fully half of them, 125,000 of them died. Farmers were out there every morning picking them up at a bushel basketful, took them into the state diagnostic lab to see what they died from. When they cut them open at autopsy, every one of them had died of a ruptured aortic aneurysm. And one of the clever pathologists says, ah, that's got to be due to a copper deficiency, because everybody knows that the elastic fibers in arteries and skin and other tissues require a large amount of copper to be manufactured. And the mechanism of an aneurysm is identical to the mechanism of a balloon on the weakened wall of a tire. And when you hit a chuck hole and you break the cords in a tire, the internal pressure in the tire blows a balloon, and you thump down the highway and heat it up, it'll blow. Same way with an aneurysm. When you get a breakdown of those elastic fibers, the internal pressure in an artery, even normal blood pressure, will blow a balloon. It's called an aneurysm, and if it ruptures, you bleed to death. So they got excited about this. They doubled the amount of copper in those pellets. The next year, they tried to raise 500,000 turkeys, and they did not lose a single one from a ruptured aneurysm. They went from a 50% loss to a 0% loss, simply by adding a little copper. And they got all excited about this. And they started looking at copper-deficient diets and copper levels in human blood and tissues. And what they came up with was this. The very first symptom of copper deficiency in human beings is white, gray, or silver hair. I see a lot of copper deficiency in this room tonight. Okay? And, of course, you don't want to be like a medical doctor and just color your hair. Because, you know, that's treating a symptom, but not obviously getting down to the root cause of things. If you don't take action at this point, and don't give yourself some of the right type of copper, what's going to happen is you start getting a breakdown of the elastic fibers in your skin, and you get crow's feet around the corners of your eyes and your mouth. Parts of your anatomy begin to sag, and you know you're in trouble when you go to your doctor and he says, you know, I've got a golf buddy down the hall who's a plastic surgeon for $10,000. He'll make you look 20 years younger. But you don't need a booby lift, a tummy tuck, or a derriere lift, or a facial lift. All you need is some colloidal copper, and everything will come back up just like you have a hydraulic jack under it. Now, if you don't take action at that point, you got to break down the elastic fibers in the large veins of your legs, and you get varicose veins. If you don't take action at this point, you got to break down the elastic fibers in the large veins of your exhaust pipe, and you get hemorrhoids. So, if you have hemorrhoids, varicose veins, things that sag, wrinkles, white, gray, or silver hair, the odds are you have aneurysms developing in you somewhere. And don't be like old Frank, who dies suddenly of a ruptured aneurysm, and all his friends get together at Denny's after the funeral and eating some of that famous blueberry cheesecake, and they say, "We never thought Frank would be the first one to go. I mean, he was Mr. Fitness. This guy walked 5 miles before breakfast every morning. He ripped the chicken skin off the chicken before he ate it, took an aspirin every day. He went to the health club every night and did those water aerobics with the young people. And he always looked so distinguished in his gray hair. His body's been screaming at him for 25 years. Frank, give me some copper. Frank, give me some copper." And he just stood in the mirror and said, "Man, I look like Einstein. You know, my gray hair." What did Einstein die from? A ruptured aortic aneurysm. What color is Einstein's hair? Snow white. Now, this fellow here, Dr. Michael P. Ortiz, 38 years old, also 20 years before the average physician and 40 years before the average American, he was a jogger. Dr. Michael P. Ortiz was a jogger, 38 years old, and he encouraged his well patients to jog with him. He gave them a 10% discount on his services if they would jog with him a minimum of 15 days out of each month. So he had this big groupie thing every day that all his patients were jogging with him because they wanted this 10% discount in services. Well, he collapsed and died in front of his horrified patients while they were jogging of a simple cardiomyopathy heart attack, a selenium deficiency. And because he didn't want to give up that 10% discount on the services, they all kept jogging. Nobody stopped to give him any CPR. Dr. Martin Carter, age 57, 1 year before the average for physicians and 20 years before the average American, was an expert, according to the New York Times obituaries. This guy had every drop of medical education you could get in the whole world, but he didn't have expensive urine. He didn't have expensive urine, even though his mom and dad were proud of him. The cause of death was a ruptured aortic aneurysm, just like those copper-deficient turkeys. This is my mother's favorite obituary. She found it. I have to use it all the time to keep mom happy. This was, almost 3 years ago now, July 93. Dr. Gail Clark, age 47, was the chief cardiologist at her hospital. She's walking down the halls of her hospital with a stethoscope around her neck. She drops dead. And let's say you're a heart patient in the ICU and your monitor shows you're stable. Beep, 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 beep. And then you hear them, they close the curtain next to you. You don't know it's your doctor being brought in there. You hear them cut the clothes off and they're yelling for the code cards and the paddles and contact gel and they need some bicarb and some epinephrine and that sort of thing. And then you hear them say, "Okay, clear everybody, here we go. Contact." Didn't work. Okay, we need some, turn the paddles up, more gel, more contact gel. Clear, clear, here we go. Then they turn on the monitor. Flat line, so you know she's dead. You say, "Nurse," now your monitor's going, because you're nervous. Say, nurse, what's down next door? Sound awful with all the screaming and code cards. And the nurse says, "Your cardiologist, the chief cardiologist of this hospital, Dr. Gail Clark, age 47, just croaked next door from a cardiomyopathy heart attack, a simple selenium deficiency disease." You see all the patients holding their gown, and they're running out of the hospital as fast as they can go because whatever the chief got, they don't want. I mean, if it kills the chief, then why would you want it? Dr. George Kohler, the youngest person ever to win the Nobel Prize in Medicine. He's in the 20th century. Dr. George Kohler, 37 years old, wins the Nobel Prize in Medicine for his work with antibodies, monoclonal antibodies. He's going to save people from cancer, which is a righteous type of research. 11 years later, age 48, boom, drops dead from a cardiomyopathy heart attack, a simple selenium deficiency disease, because he believed you could get everything you needed from your four food groups. I remember I told you when I came back from Africa, I was supposed to find an early warning system, and it turned out that the early warning system is not a wombat or a koala bear or a ruby-throated hummingbird or a rare and endangered fish or reptile. It turns out that our early warning system is our own young athletes. According to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, 100,000 young athletes under the age of 30 drop dead each year during exercise or a game or immediately after exercise or a game. 100,000. Double the number who are killed in car accidents. 10 years ago, I began to see articles like this in medical journals. Sudden death in young athletes. And this is a small study, but it gives you a flavor of what's going on here. 29 highly conditioned competitive athletes ages 13 to 30 dropped dead during a game in the study. 35% of them died of ruptured aneurysms, a copper deficiency. The other 65% died of cardiomyopathy, heart disease, a selenium deficiency. Now, what do you think is the most dangerous sport in the world? You can yell and mouse me. Boxing. Basketball. Hockey. Football. Jogging. Cross-country racing. It turns out that it is basketball. 45% or 45,000 out of the 100,000 are basketball players. And I'll show you why in a minute. Football happens to be second. Here's some of the faces of the young Americans. These are, you know, the pride of America. These are kids who are healthy, apparently, and just suddenly dropped dead during games, 14, 15, 16, 18 years old. Here's a water polo player, 14 years old, cardiomyopathy, heart disease. Stanley Hawkins, freshman in high school, just practicing basketball, drops over dead from a cardiomyopathy heart attack, selenium deficiency. Darren Millott, 22 years old, 6'5", had just signed a multi-million dollar contract with an NBA team. Just shooting some baskets, and it wasn't even a game. He was in his jeans and t-shirt, just shooting some baskets, went for a layup, put the ball in the basket, came down, he was dead. Cardiomyopathy heart attack, selenium deficiency. Here's one that's a little more famous, Reggie Lewis, 27-year-old captain of the Boston Celtics, April of 1993, a little over 3 years ago now. Collapsed during a playoff game with the Charlotte Hornets and was diagnosed very accurately and very quickly as having cardiomyopathy heart disease. And because he was a $65 million contract athlete, the Celtics hired the top 12 cardiologists in the whole world and referred to this collection of doctors, which they accumulated in Boston, as the dream team of cardiologists. They called them the dream team of cardiologists, gave them $1 million each to refer all their patients out to other doctors, and lo and behold, they were supposed to devote their full time to saving Reggie. They didn't take $50 of their money and give it to a medical student or pre-med student to go to the medical library and like Star Trek, ask the computer, what are all the known causes of cardiomyopathy? If they would have done that, the computer would have said, there's only one known cause of cardiomyopathy. It was discovered in animals in 1957, and the disease was eliminated from animals in 1958. It was proven in human beings in 1972 with a double-blind crossover study with 45,000 human subjects, and the disease was eliminated in the country in which this was done. The only known cause of cardiomyopathy heart disease in both animals and human beings is a deficiency of the trace mineral selenium. They didn't do that, and as a result, they didn't give Reggie Lewis 10 cents a day worth of selenium. If they would have done that, Reggie Lewis would still be alive today. And as a result, while they were bickering, 3 months after his initial heart attack, Reggie Lewis, 27 years old, July 28, 1993, dies of a second cardiomyopathy heart attack. Now, if the dream team of cardiologists wouldn't give a $65 million athlete 10 cents a day worth of selenium, what's the chances of your cardiologist giving you any? Well, watch my lips. If you haven't gotten it by now, none. Okay. I think you get the picture. Now, if you wait long enough, justice has a way of coming around, doesn't it? You know my hobby, so you shouldn't be too surprised. A year and a half after Reggie Lewis died, the chief of the dream team of cardiologists, one Dr. W. Thomas Nessa, a marathon runner, finished the Boston Marathon 3 times before he died, was the vice chairman of the Department of Cardiology at Harvard Medical School, age 48, boom, dropped dead from a cardiomyopathy heart attack. Dr. W. Thomas Nessa, a member of the dream team of cardiologists who treated the late Boston Celtics captain Reggie Lewis, died in his own home of the same thing. I mean, this guy had to be malignant dumb, right? I mean, he didn't learn anything from a $65 million autopsy. November 1995, Sergei Grinkov, 2-time gold medal winner of paired figure skating, 1988 and 1994 in the Olympic Games, was just tying his skates at Lake Placid, New York, getting ready to get into peak physical condition for his upcoming Olympics, dropped over dead, age 28, from cardiomyopathy heart attack, just like Reggie Lewis, age 27. Here's one, Matt LaChapa, backup pitcher, San Diego Padres, 20 years old, collapsed and died from cardiomyopathy heart attack. Here's a good story. Evander Holyfield was banned almost 3 years ago now from boxing because he developed cardiomyopathy, heart disease. Not the sudden type that kills you instantly, but slow wasting of the heart muscle, kind of a muscular dystrophy of the heart muscle. He was banned from boxing because he couldn't pass the physical anymore. About 7 months into his retirement, I ran into one of his physicians in a seminar like this in Atlanta. We talked about the relationship between selenium deficiency and cardiomyopathy, heart disease, and he began to give Evander Holyfield some selenium. 10 months later, his electrocardiogram goes to normal, and he passes the physical to the boxing commission, something that never happens. People with cardiomyopathy, heart disease never go back to normal. But then all they get is pacemakers and heart transplants. At any rate, he passes the physical. He boxes about a year ago, wins his first fight back in the ring. 3 months later, he passes the physical again, loses the fight. But then about, 6 to 8 weeks ago, passes the physical again. 4 weeks ago, he fought again and won the fight. And he's going strong now, simply because he took some minerals here, selenium. If you get into this situation, don't let your doctor tell you you only have two choices, either Kevorkian or the heart transplant. You have a third choice, and now you're informed about this, so you can make that decision on your own. The rate of brain cancer in America has gone up 400% in the last 40 years, and everybody's pointing their fingers towards cellular telephones. And everybody's trying to give me a cellular telephone, so I started examining this, if there's anything to that. And you don't have to worry about it if you use them, because 97% of the people who use cellular telephone, or excuse me, 97% of the people with brain cancer have never even been in the same room with a cellular telephone, let alone use one. So you don't have to worry about that. But there is a little-known trace mineral known as gallium. This trace mineral, gallium, G-A-L-L-I-U-M, when you give it to laboratory animals in optimal amounts and then you give them a chemical known to cause brain cancer, they don't get it. If you give them a laboratory experimental diet that's deficient in gallium and then you give them the same chemical, they all get brain cancer. So I believe there's a huge increase in rate of brain cancer in America, the combination of a gallium deficiency and a lot of chemicals in our air, water, and food that do cause brain cancer. Think about all the performers who die suddenly, whose performances are almost athletic in the presentation. People like Elvis, he died of cardiomyopathy, heart disease, and because he had lots of drugs in his blood and his liver, they blamed his death on the drug. But he really died of cardiomyopathy, heart disease, which is a selenium deficiency disease. Then you look at Conway Twitty, who died in front of 3,000 fans in Branson, Missouri, with a ruptured aortic aneurysm, a copper deficiency. Look at Michael Jackson, collapsed in December of 1995 and was in the intensive care unit for 1 week because his blood, minerals, and electrolytes were all messed up, almost died. When you go to a basketball game, a football game, a track meet, look out there at those well-trained athletes. The odds are all the couch potatoes in the stands and bleachers have a much better chance of living to be over 80 than those athletes do. Here I'll put out my challenge. If you can find the obituary of any university semi-pro or pro athlete who lived to be over 100, I'll give you a $100 bill. Because I've looked real hard. The average lifespan for athletes, both university and semi-pro and professional, is 62 to 65, depending on their sport. Here's the final clue. As many as 62% of female college gymnasts suffer from anorexia. They suffer from anorexia, 62%. Is that because of genetic? No. Is that because all their mothers hate them? No. Is it because they think they're too fat? Absolutely not. I used to see a lot of these gals in the 70s and 80s when I practiced up in Portland, Oregon, because that was the time of Olga Corbett. And you may remember her as being the darling of the world because she won every gymnastic event in the Olympics, the same Olympiad with a perfect score. And everybody wanted their little girl to be at Olga Corbett. And I used to see them. They'd get split lips and fractures and dislocations because they weren't all perfect. And they'd hit those bars going full speed and get dislocations and split lips and twists and sprains and strains and bruises. But the ones that fascinated me were the little 8, 10, 12 years old that were depressed and anorexic, certainly not typical of a teenage girl or a preteen girl. And so I used to do hair analysis on them because that was the only way I could communicate with them because they weren't sociable, they wouldn't eat, they didn't want to study, or they didn't want to do their athletics anymore. And sure enough, every one of them were severely deficient in many, many nutrients, 30, 40 nutrients, but all of them were uniformly severely deficient in two trace minerals, zinc and lithium. Zinc and lithium, but began to give them as many as 25 or 30 nutrients intravenously two or three times a week, paying special attention to giving them lots of zinc and lithium. And sure enough, in 14 to 21 days, they were eating like little pigs again. They were real interested in going out and training. They were sociable again. And all the parents who took their little girls who were anorexic to counselors and shrinks, those little girls were counseled unto death. Now, you may remember Karen Carpenter from the singing group, the brother sister of the Carpenters. She was 30 years old, give or take a year or so. She developed anorexia, and because they had lots of money, they went around the world and went to all the shrinks and the counselors in Moscow and Berlin and London and Paris, all over the United States, and they counseled her unto death. Because you cannot counsel somebody well who has a terminal zinc deficiency. You have to give them some zinc. Now, what possibly could be the common denominator between a 65-pound gymnast, a 7-foot-tall basketball player, 250-pound boxer, heavyweight boxing champion, and these runners that have less than 4% body fat on them? What could possibly be the common denominator? They all sweat. And when you sweat out all 60 essential nutrients, all 60 essential minerals. You don't just sweat out. You don't just sweat out potassium and Gatorade. You sweat out all 60 essential minerals. And you sweat out all of your selenium and don't replace it by supplementation. On the average, you're going to get a cardiomyopathy heart attack. You sweat out all of your copper and don't replace it by supplementation, you're going to get an aneurysm. You sweat out all of your chromium and vanadium, you're going to get diabetes. You sweat out all of your gallium and don't replace it, you're going to get a brain cancer. If you're a teenage girl and you sweat out all of your zinc and your lithium, you're going to get anorexia. Get the picture? Now, the reason why athletes are early warning system, as a rule, they sweat out more in 20 to 30 years than a couch potato does in 80 years. They've compressed a whole lifetime of sweating into 20 years. That's why there are early warning systems. Now, you don't have to be an athlete to sweat, though. Let's say you're a postmenopausal woman and you have night sweats. Let's say you're a welder, a farmer, a carpenter. Let's say you work in the oven room of a Pizza Hut. Any place that you sweat. Even if you work in an office situation where you have an air-conditioned office and you just use a keyboard and you never get one bead of sweat on you. I mean, you can go a whole week wearing the same clothes. Nobody will know, right? But then you go out every night and you do aerobics or you jog and you sweat then. So it doesn't matter why you sweat, whether it's for recreation or at work. If you don't replace those minerals, you're in line, you're putting yourself at high risk of developing a lot of these degenerative diseases, many of which are debilitating and certainly many of which are fatal. What's the very first symptom of mineral deficiencies in animals and people? It's called pica and cribbing. Farmers know about this. When they see an animal chewing on the hitching post, and these are a couple of Amish horses up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. When they see them chewing on the hitching post, the fence rails, things like shovel handles, the half doors in the barn, the door jams in the barn, a good farmer recognizes this as an animal that's in trouble. They are minerally deficient. How many of you either are or know of a chocoholic? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's the munchies. That's pica and cribbing. That's a mineral deficiency. It's the only thing that will cause that. How many of you know of a Coca-holic or a Pepsi-holic? Raise your hand. Yeah. Oh, a day without 12 Pepsis, I can't function. Okay, these are minerally deficient people, and that's one of the reasons why we have a weight challenge in America, because people have been taught to put calories in their mouth instead of minerals. There's no calories in minerals. Next time you have these terrible cravings, instead of putting chips and dips and chocolate and donuts in your mouth, try some minerals. You'll not only lose weight, but you'll feel better and live longer. My favorite mineral is lithium. The reason why I like lithium is shrinks think it's a drug that only they can prescribe, where in fact it's one of those 60 essential minerals that everybody needs every day. And like all essential nutrients, if it's missing for 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, a year or so, you get on the average 10 deficiency diseases, which include depression, manic depression, bipolar disease, suicidal behavior, violent behavior, spouse abuse, child abuse, domestic violence, drug addictions, alcohol addictions. These are all symptoms of lithium deficiency in people who've been challenged with sugar, natural or processed. We'll talk more about that in a minute. I believe we should be putting lithium in our drinking water because, first of all, it's safer than chlorine and fluorine. And number two, we could eliminate 85% of all domestic violence if we would just put lithium in our drinking water. Now, you can pick up and diagnose a child with lithium deficiency and one who's in trouble by looking at their coloring projects. If you look at the coloring projects, if they're deficient in lithium and are sensitive to sugar, we'll talk about that in a second, these are kids who are going to take a dark color, black, brown, purple, dark red, dark blue, dark green, and scribble all over the page with little or no intent to stay in the line. These are kids who are in trouble. You can project these 4 or 5-year-olds are going to drop out of high school. They're not going to learn how to write, read, or do math. They're going to have a lousy personal life. They're never going to be happy during a marriage. They're going to be violent types and so forth. These are kids who are in trouble. They're going to experiment with cigarettes and alcohol and drugs. But they're salvageable because this is the same kid here 6 weeks later, simply getting them off of sugar, natural process. No apple juice, no grape juice, no honey, no molasses, no Pepsis, no chocolate, no ding-dongs, no sugar frosted flakes and that sort of thing. And supplemented them, this kid, with lithium, chromium, and vanadium. Look at the heels and the boots. And the boots, the glove, the uniform sleeve, the glove, the border on the foot, and the border on the hat and so forth, all in the lines, the tail and so on, and with more appropriate colors. You can save these kids if you just pay attention. If not, they don't just have an art aptitude, they're in trouble. Okay? Now, these kids also wet the bed far after they're supposed to be potty trained. They're 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 years old, and they wet the bed. They have a history of scribbling all over the page without staying in the lines. They are cruel to little animals and other kids, and they love to play with matches and fire. These are kids who, if you don't save them at this early age, you can project they're going to become mass murderers and serial killers. It just happens that way. Here's what happens next. You start getting kids with what's called geographic tongues. Geographic tongues are red, pulpy, and painful. They have ulcers and erosions all over their tongues. These kids have zero brain waves. They can't learn how to read, write, and do math. If you don't take care of them there, they're going to drop out of school and experiment with cigarettes, alcohol, and drugs. They hit 12, 14, 16 years old. Look at the allergic shiners under this kid's eyes. This is not physical abuse. He's just sensitive to sugar. And people are sensitive to sugar just like some people are sensitive to alcohol. You know, there's a good alcoholic. If a person who will drink a beer and a shot of whiskey, they'll go to sleep. These are, quote, good alcoholics. There's people who drink a beer, maybe have a shot of whiskey, and they get boisterous and obnoxious, and they start singing loud songs and being loud, and they think jokes are funny that aren't funny. And then you get people who drink, and they just get mean and become downright dangerous to themselves and everybody else. The same thing is true with sugar. There's some people who take in sugar, and they get low blood sugar, and they just go to sleep. Some people who get take in sugar, they get rowdy and attention deficit disorder, ADHD, hyperactivity, learning disabilities, and they get kind of obnoxious. And then there are people who take in sugar and they become serial killers and they get violent. And so people are sensitive to sugar just like they are to alcohol. And you get them off of sugar, natural and processed, and supplement them with lithium, chromium, and vanadium, you can save them and everybody around them. Here's a 20-year-old. You don't need to be a clinical psychologist to see that he's depressed. Look at the allergic shiners under his eyes. And these are the type of kids who live on Pepsis and ding-dongs their whole life. They're quiet. They stay in their rooms with their headsets and listen to their music, or they might play on the keyboards or the computers. And then one day when grandma gives them an irritation of about a 0.1 on the scale of 1 to 10, you got to do the dishes before I give you the car keys, they'll walk into the kitchen, pick up the cleaver, and smack grandma's head off. They'll respond with a 10, right? And they're just irritated, 0.1. Now, this is all too common. Right now, experts say that 30% of all American teenagers are going to appear in juvenile court in 1996. One-third of all American teenagers. Anyway, it's a terrible tragedy. These things do go on all the time. And back, I guess it was the third week in January of this year, 1996, I was up in Moses Lake, Washington on a Monday night, actually giving a seminar like this. And when I got to this point, guys in the front row said, "Doc, you don't have to talk about teen violence in Moses Lake. I mean, there's more people in this National Guard Armory than there is in the whole town. And they only have a couple hundred teenagers, and they all know each other by first name. It's kind of like a big family." And they didn't believe they had any teen problems in Moses Lake. Well, that was Monday night. Friday at 2 in the afternoon, an honor student in junior high school walks in with a deer rifle, blows away the math teacher and two of his fellow students. Now, this kid was not on drugs. He was not a member of any gang. There's no drugs and gangs in Moses Lake, Washington. You know the answer to why this happened. I'm going to bring it out of you. What time of the year is there more domestic violence, depression, and suicide than any other time of year? Christmas, holidays. A week before Christmas, the time between Christmas and New Year's, from New Year's until now, Super Bowl Day. In fact, Super Bowl Day has the largest number of violent incidents than any other day of the year, Super Bowl Day. What happens during these holidays that happens more than any other time of year? Sugar. I've heard people say it, sugar. You get more cake, more pie, more candy, more cookies, more punch, more colas and drinks of various kinds than you get any other time of year. It's not just on Sunday afternoon. I mean, we're talking four times a day. in school, after school, in the evening, 4 times or 10 times on the weekend, because it's party time during the holidays. And as a result, the people who are sensitive to sugar and are going to get violent, are depressed, come out during this time, especially if they're deficient in lithium, chromium, and vanadium. Attention deficit disorder, another one of those physician-caused diseases, because physicians say sugar is okay. It's better to have Ritalin than sugar. You can have both. You know, if you're good, you can have sugar and Ritalin. Well, if you take someone who has ADD or ADHD, attention deficit disorder or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, regardless of age, whether they're 2 or 6 or 8 or 15 or 25 or 40, and take them off of all sugar, natural and processed, and supplement them with all 90 nutrients, paying special attention to make sure that they get lithium, chromium, and vanadium, 98%, I can't use the cure word, but 98% will get 100% better. Now, the whole family has to do the same thing. You can't be guzzling Cokes and eating donuts and expect a 6-year-old or an 18-year-old to give it up. The whole family has to change and eat the same way for the benefit not only of that child, but for the whole family, because if something goes wrong, the whole family is in trouble. Now, this little gal here, 300 years ago, would have been a vampire or a werewolf. Your own villagers would have burned her to death at the stake. Maybe the village elders would have killed her by driving a wooden stake through her heart. You may remember her as Susan Smith, the mother who drowned her 2 sons from Union, South Carolina. And we learned a lot about her during her trial. Number one, she tried to commit suicide twice during high school. A lithium and chromium deficiency. Nobody said to her, Susan, give up all sugar and natural process. We're going to give you some lithium, chromium, and vanadium. They didn't even give her any Prozac. All they did was give her a hug and say, Susan, everybody loves you, and if you get depressed again, let everybody know, and we'll talk you out of this suicide thing. 2 years after graduating high school, she went further into her depression. They diagnosed her as being a manic depressant. They put her on Prozac at that time. Nobody took her off her sugar and supplemented her with any lithium, chromium, and vanadium. And 2 years later, when her boyfriend realized how wacky she was at that time, tried to disengage and break off from her, and he used the kids as a foil purposely, because most single mothers, when put to the test, you have to give up your kids. You don't need to stay with you because, you know, I'm not big enough to handle these kids. Every time I look at those kids, I see another man. So you got to give up those kids. And most women would say, well, you're out of here, you bum. I'm not going to give up my kids. If you don't take the package deal, you don't get anything. But she didn't do that. The night before she drowned those 2 boys, she went from telephone to telephone, pay telephone to pay telephone, in the parking lots of the 7-Elevens in Union, South Carolina. And she tried to call this guy because she figured out a way to make everybody happy. She remembered a little incident that happened to her when she was 6 years old. And it goes like this. When she was 6 years old, she had 6 kittens, and she wanted to keep them all. She loved them all. But her daddy said, hey, we can only afford to take care of 2, so you got to give up 4. And he took 4 of them out of her arms and put them into a sack with a brick and tied the sack and threw them into a pond and drowned them. He said, now that was painless. Didn't hurt those kittens. And they're happy because they're in heaven with God. And God's happy because those kittens are with him, and you're happy because you get to keep 2 instead of none, and I'm happy because I don't have to feed 6, I only have to feed 2. And she remembered that story, and she said, well, I can make everybody happy here. I'll just drown those 2 boys, and it'll be painless, and they'll be happy because they'll be in heaven with God, and God will be happy because they're in heaven with them, and I'll be happy because I get my boyfriend, and he'll be happy because he gets me without the kids. Nobody took her off of any sugar, natural process, or supplemented her with any lithium, chromium, or vanadium. One more tragic story here, and then we'll get into the summary slides, and then we'll open up for questions, see if there's any health challenges we want to talk about. This kid here, I could have picked out from his coloring projects when he was 4 years old, guaranteed. We call him the Willy Wonka serial killer. Now, how many of you have ever seen the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? Raise your hand. Yeah, pretty fun little movie. We call him the Willy Wonka serial killer. When he was 4 years old, he was caught on the shoulder of a little state highway in Indiana, 88, eating road kills, like hard taco shells. And we used to call these things sail caps. They were run over so many times, they were dry. You'd use them like frisbees, right? Talk about pica and cribbing. I mean, he was eating road kills at age 4. When he was 7 years old, he was thought to be part of a satanic cult because he was twisting the heads off his neighbor's chickens and nailing them to the door jams, cutting the heads off the dogs and cats, putting them on pikes, and planting them in front of their yard. Cruelty to little animals. He went to bed until he was 12 years old. When he was 13 years old, he was a full-blown alcoholic. He'd sit in class and drink beer cans and crunch them and disrupt the class. But his teachers were terrified to kick him out of class because he threatened to burn their house down. He loved to play with fire. All right? Now, because he was such a threatening kid, they gave him straight A's and graduated him a year early out of high school. Moved him right along. He then joined the Army and became a medic because he had such good grades. They made him a medic and encouraged him to apply to medical school. The only reason he did not get into medical school was he was being treated as an alcoholic in the Army. He said, hey, you dry out, apply to medical school again, we'll take you. Well, after 3 years, the Army kicked him out as being a hopeless alcoholic. He moved up to Milwaukee, lived with his grandmother, and he worked in a chocolate factory for 4 years. And he ate chocolate for breakfast, lunch, and supper because it was free to employees. He used his minimum wage paycheck to buy alcohol and drugs at night. And in 4 years, when that chocolate didn't hold this horrible craving he had anymore, he killed his member in 8 parts of 17 human beings. Jeffrey Dahmer. Nobody told him anywhere along his life to give up sugar and supplement with lithium, chromium, and vanadium. All they did was say, now, Jeffrey, it's not nice to kill this member and eat people. We require 90 essential nutrients, 16 minerals, 6 O minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, and 3 essential fatty acids. And fortunately, for the thousands of years we've been around, we haven't had to think about this too much as human beings, because our food plants, our grains, fruits, vegetables, and nuts take carbon dioxide from the air and manufacture long carbon chains. And many of these long carbon chains are vitamins, amino acids, and fatty acids. And this is where this myth came from. You can get everything you need from your four food groups, because plants do manufacture a certain amount of vitamins, amino acids, and fatty acids. But we've tried this experiment for 100 years or 200 years, and we've learned if you eat the four food groups and don't supplement, you can live to be an average of 75.5, about half of what we're genetically capable of. So I sat down one day and I said, well, how much of these grains, fruits, and vegetables and nuts do you have to eat every day to live to be over 100? And I calculate you need 6 cups each of 15 different plant groups, grains, fruits, vegetables, and nuts to get enough vitamins, amino acids, and fatty acids to live to be over 100. That's 90 cups a day. It's a full bushel. Now, you have two problems if you want to do that. Number one, you have a capacity problem. If anybody in this room can eat a bushel of anything, I'll give you $100 bill. Number two, if you eat a bushel of fruits and vegetables every day, guess where you're going to spend most of your life? You guessed it, you're going to be on that little house pot, you know, going through about 10 rolls of Charmin a day. You'll only be able to work with a laptop computer and a cellular telephone, because you're not going to be able to go anywhere else. So even though it is theoretically possible to get all the vitamins, amino acids, and fatty acids you need for meeting your four food groups, you can only expect to get 75.5, give or take, sometimes 80 years, sometimes 65 years, but on the average, 75.5. If you want to live to be over 100 and be helpful, you have to take in supplements of vitamins, amino acids, and fatty acids. Now, minerals are a different story. Plants cannot manufacture minerals. The only minerals that you find in plants are those that are in the soil in which they're grown. Plants will take up minerals out of the soil. And the reason why we're in trouble in America is for the last 100 years, we've used a simple fertilizer, NPK. Nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. We did on our farm. People still do today, and they will for the next 1,000 years, use the simple fertilizer, NPK, because it gives the farmer the maximum yield in terms of tons and bushels per acre.
You're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. This is the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to get some more information on Dr. Wallach, and find out how he can help you improve your own personal health, call these numbers right now. 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405. Or 1-888-701-0502. That's 1-888-701-0502. One more time, write them down. And if you didn't get them this time, I'm going to say them one more time before the end of this broadcast. The numbers are 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405 or 1-888-701-0502. That's 1-888-701-0502. 888-701-0502. For those of you who are not aware, an 888 number is a toll-free call. These are toll-free calls. So call now and get yourself started back on the road to good health.
Bushels. Nobody gives a farmer any type of tax incentive or cash incentive to make sure that you get all 60 essential minerals. It's your responsibility. Farmers only generate tons and bushels per acre. That's what they do, and they do a very good job. We know that it only takes 5 to 10 years to deplete the nutritional minerals out of our farm soils. And we've been using NPK for 100 years. So, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that there's a deficit there. U.S. Senate Document 264 says, there's no longer any nutritional minerals left in our farm and range soils. And as a result, the crops that are grown there are minerally deficient. As a result, the animals and people who eat these minerally deficient crops get mineral deficiency diseases. And the only way to prevent and cure them is with mineral supplementation, as U.S. Senate Document 264. Now, to me, the scary thing about U.S. Senate Document 264 is that it was written and published by the U.S. Senate in 1936. 60 years ago, this information was known. 60 years ago. This is not yesterday's news. It's 60 years old. This is the time at which we began to put vitamins and minerals and trace minerals into animal feeds to make up the deficit. Unfortunately for human beings, we got wonder drugs at the same time. We got sulfa drugs in 1936. We got penicillin in 38, cortisone in 42. And everybody was led to believe if we give medical research enough money and enough time, they'll find a wonder drug to fix everything. You just need to eat your four food groups and run around willy-nilly and everything will be all right. One of the studies that fascinated me in Rio in 1992 at the Earth Summit was this study here, where they compared the amount of minerals in our farm and range soils compared to what was in there 100 years ago. African farm soils are 74% depleted. Asian farm soils are 76% depleted. European farm soils are 72% depleted. South America is 76%. The United States and Canada, North America is 85% depleted. We're 10 to 15% worse off than anybody else. And of course, the per acre. And all we put back in the soil was NPK. And then there were 16 years of the Russian wheat deals. And all we put back in the soil was NPK. That's why our soils are depleted. Now, if I haven't gotten your attention yet, I want to show you this map. This is an overlay map of the continental United States. The black areas have absolutely no selenium in it. And the dark gray areas are so irregular that you wouldn't want to bet your life on what may or may not be in there. So if you go to a farmer's market on the weekend or you have your own garden, what's the chances of you having enough selenium in your food to live to be 100 without supplementation? Zero. Every farmer knows about this and they put it in their animal feeds. Do you think animals just need it and not people? Okay. Let's look at two minerals before we wind it up. Let's look at calcium, the number one mineral in the body. Your body contains more calcium than any other mineral. 147 different diseases if you're deficient in calcium. I'm just going to go over the top 10 with you. Osteoporosis, everybody knows about that. Today, it's the number 10 killer of adults over the age of 65. Remember, 75% don't live 90 days. You get complications from those fractures. It's a horrible disease in terms of human misery and dollars spent. $35,000 to have a hip replaced. Get them both replaced is $70,000. If that's uncomplicated. If it's complicated and have all kinds of problems, it might be $100,000, $200,000. Now, as a terrible disease as osteoporosis is in human beings, we don't have osteoporosis in animals. That's because farmers have a lot of common sense. Let's say a farmer out here has 100 head of cattle on his pasture and no calves this year, calls the vet out and says, "Hey, Doc, I'm in trouble. I haven't had any calves this year. Can't repay the operating loan. I've lost a lot of money." He says, "Well, I get rid of this herd," and the vet will come out and examine the cows. He says, "No, the cows are all okay. But that bull up in that shed up there has osteoporosis of both hips, had so much pain, couldn't breed the cows. That's why I don't have any calves." He says, as a result, he said, "What I want you to do is give me $70,000. I give that bull two new hips, and next year you'll have some calves." Now, a farmer being very practical, he's saying, "Now stand over here, Doc," and he whips out his deer rifle, and boom, blows away the bull. And while the kids are cutting the bull up into hamburger and roast and steaks, the farmer said, "Now, Doc, for $70,000, I can get a new bull every year for 70 years. So I wasn't going to spend that kind of money on that old bull. But every once in a while, we get one we'd like to keep because he throws good calves. Can we prevent this osteoporosis thing?" And they'll say, "Well, sure. You want to prevent it, all you got to do is take 10 cents every day in a pellet's worth of calcium. 10 cents worth of calcium every day in a pellet of those calves when you wean them off the cow, and you won't get osteoporosis. And the farmer says, wait a minute. We can prevent a $70,000 to $100,000 vet bill simply with 10 cents a day worth of calcium. He says, yep. The farmer says, well, since I don't have Blue Cross Blue Shield, major medical hospitalization, Medicare, Medicaid, or Hillary to watch out for those calves, I got to pay for this out of my own pocket. He says, I'm going to do the 10 cent a day calcium thing. That's why we don't have osteoporosis in animals. Receding gums. Dentists and dental hygienists will tell you to floss and brush after every meal. If you believe that receding gums can be prevented or cured by flossing and brushing, I have some oceanfront property in Idaho I'd like to sell you, because you're an easy sell. Now, as a veterinarian, I've literally seen hundreds of thousands of animals. Rats, mice, rabbits, dogs, cats, sheep, pigs, horses, cows, lions and tigers and bears. And they don't floss and they don't get receding gums. Now, they do get funky breath, because they don't floss, but they don't get receding gums. Now, the reason why we don't get receding gums in animals is because we've dealt with the osteoporosis thing. If you have receding gums, regardless of your age, whether you're 12, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, it doesn't matter. If you have receding gums, loose teeth, gingivitis, pyorrhea, periodontitis, bridges or plates, you have osteoporosis of the face or jaw bones. You see this 20 to 50 years before you can recognize osteoporosis in the large bones of your arms, legs, hips, pelvis, and vertebrae. So if you have any of these problems, you have osteoporosis of the face and jaw bones. Arthritis. 85% of all arthritis is wear and tear arthritis. 85% of all arthritis is wear and tear arthritis. Osteoarthritis, degenerative arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis. And of course, this is the type of arthritis that can be prevented, and you might get 100% better if you use Dr. Wallach's Pig Arthritis Formula, which is made up out of a liquid multiple, plant-derived, that has 72 colloidal minerals in it. We'll talk about colloidal minerals in just a second. And a liquid multiple and the gelatin we talked about, either Knox or Willamette Valley gelatin, either a half ounce or the 12 capsules, and 5 ounces of the calcium-enriched Minute Maid orange juice. All that together makes up Dr. Wallach's Pig Arthritis Formula, and taken faithfully twice a day, you have every honest expectation of getting significantly better, or maybe even 100% better. Even if your neck sounds like a bag full of gravel, your joints sound like you have Rice Krispies in there, you know, snap, crackle, and pop, you can't get up out of your chair yourself, you have excruciating pain, and so on, you want to give it a try if you have wear and tear arthritis. Hypertension. Again, we've already talked about this. Hypertension has nothing to do with salt intake. Salt restriction is not going to prevent it or fix it. Hypertension, high blood pressure is actually due. 85% of all hypertension is due to a calcium deficiency. Take in 3 times the RDA, recommended daily allowance by your government, and according to the Inner Salt study and the study from Toronto Medical School, the calcium will resolve your high blood pressure. Insomnia. As you roll around all night, wake up in the morning more tired than when you went to bed, contrary to popular belief by physicians, is not due to a barbiturate deficiency or a halcyon deficiency. It's due to a calcium deficiency. Kidney stones, bone spurs, heel spurs, and calcium deposits. The medical profession has the malignant dumb belief that these things are due to too much calcium in your diet. And the first advice they give you when you have any of these problems, give up all dairy and for God's sake don't take any supplements with calcium in them. When in fact, when you get kidney stones, bone spurs, heel spurs, and calcium deposits, you have raging osteoporosis. It's your own calcium being moved around. You need more calcium, more magnesium, not less. I want you to be honest with me. How many of you ever had a foot cramp, toe cramp, leg cramp, eyelid twitch, or anything like that in your life? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's the first symptom of a calcium deficiency. If you're honest, you'll fess up to that. Myself, when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, my eyelids used to twitch so violently you could hear them click. And I used to look into the mirror and say, do people see that? Is that my imagination? And one day I got the twitching and the clicking together, and I called my mom, and she came in. She didn't know what it was, so she panicked. We jumped in the car, and we drove 80 miles to St. Louis, and I ran into my first female doctor when I was 14 years old. Now remember, she's an eye doctor. Her name was Mary Jane Skeffington. Mary Jane Skeffington, the eye doctor, for some reason, I'm 14 years old, she had me stripped down to my jockey underwear. Now back then I was just a dumb redneck kid from the farm. I didn't know any better. Whatever she said, I did. Now today, if an eye doctor were to do that, you could go on Geraldo or Oprah and say you were sexually harassed by your eye doctor, right? But anyway, she kept looking in my eye with this ophthalmoscope for an hour and then go see another patient. She'd look in my eye with an ophthalmoscope, see another patient. She went on and on and on for 2 hours. And finally said, Doc, listen, I play junior varsity football. I'm the captain of the wrestling team. I actually I'm on the weightlifting team. And if you have to amputate my eyelids, go for it. I can handle whatever you need to do. So she goes into her office. She comes back. She has a little Maybelline mascara eyelash brush and a little mirror in those little plastic boxes. And I said, what's that for? She says, well, the structure of your eye seems to be okay, but you have these real long eyelashes. They've grown forward, hit your eyeglasses. They've curled back and are tickling your eyeball. And that's what's causing your eyelids to twitch. I said, you're kidding me. She says, no, that appears to be what it is. And I said, well, what do we do about it? She says, well, what I want you to do is every hour, I want you to alternate eyes, take 15 minutes in each hour and work and retrain those eyelashes. And she starts demonstrating to me. She said, you got to do it like this. I said, no, wait a minute. Let's get this straight. You want me to sit on the football bench with 25 guys weighing over 200 pounds? This is in 1950, right? And you want me to sit there with a Maybelline mascara eyelash brush and play with my eyelashes? And not only does my team have cleats on their feet, there's these guys across the field, 25 guys over 200 pounds. I said, you got to be crazy. So I put on my pants. I said, she doesn't know anything about football. Right? So I went marching to the school library, and I found a health book out of desperation that was written by two nurses. And I looked in the index, and it said muscle cramps, muscle twitches. I looked in the book where it said to look, and sure enough, it said this is all due to a calcium deficiency. And I said, I know how to solve this problem. I know we have some calcium. It's in the calf pellets in the barn. So I ran to the barn and started filling all my pockets and my pants and my shirt and my jacket with calf pellets. And the next day at school, everybody else is eating M&Ms and jelly beans. Old Wallach is eating calf pellets because the alternative was the Maybelline mascara eyelash treatment. So I was motivated. Now, in 4 to 5 days, all those cramps and twitches went away. So when I was 14 years old, I knew that doctors didn't know anything about nutrition. And that eye doctors perhaps should go back to school and learn some anatomy because they didn't know where the eyes were. PMS, premenstrual syndrome, the University of California, San Diego came out 6 years ago and said that 85% of the emotional and physical stuff of PMS can be relieved, prevented, and cured. They're using the cure word, not me. By tripling your intake of calcium over and above the RDA. Now, low back pain, that's a pretty common thing, low back pain. How many of you, either yourself or have known somebody that had a disc surgery for back pain and still had pain or more pain after the surgery? Raise your hand. Isn't that amazing? Almost 40-50% of the people in the room. Now, Harvard Medical School is getting the same feedback, and they said, there's something wrong with this picture. We're doing these heroic disc surgeries to relieve pain, and 50% of the people are still having pain. So they looked at it, and they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. They took 1,700 people who had no history of back problems, never had a back problem, and they were in the teaching hospital at Harvard for RSA cataract operations, 1,700 of them. They did CAT scans on their back. 85% of those 1,700 people had bulging, degenerative, and ruptured disc. And Harvard Medical School, 8 months ago, came out and said, if anybody gets a disc operation for back pain, it's medical fraud, because disc problems do not cause back pain. Disc problems can cause tingling, numbness, and paralysis, but not back pain. When you have low back pain, you have cramps and spasms of large muscles of your back. You can have subluxations or malalignments of the vertebrae. You can have bone spurs, calcium deposits, arthritis, osteoporosis, but not disc problems. If you have any of these top 10 problems, I'm going to try Dr. Wallach's pig arthritis formula before you elect to have any surgery. Don't be like the average American who spends between $25,000 and $250,000 and undergoes 5 to 10 surgical procedures for nothing more than the top 10 calcium deficiency diseases in America. It's really a terrifying thing that people can be talked into that. Okay. Last disease, one more slide after this. Diabetes, the number 3 killer of adults in the United States, causes blindness of all kinds, kidney failure, kidney dialysis, kidney transplant, contributes to the numbers of cardiovascular disease, the number 1 killer of adults in the United States, amputations of toes, feet, and legs for ulcers that won't heal, and gangrene. And most times, you really don't have to get an amputation to resolve those problems, but if you insist on getting something amputated, please, please put a tag on it so they get the right one. If you guys go in for an inguinal surgery operation, you want to get a do not remove sign and put it in the appropriate place. That happens. Okay. Now, when your doctor diagnoses a new diabetic patient in his office, he excuses himself, goes into his private office, drops to his knees, and gives thanks to the Lord. Then he jumps up and he calls his real estate agent because he knows over 20, 30, 40 years, you're going to go through all these problems if you follow the standard treatment or management of diabetes in human medicine. And as a result, over 20, 30, 40 years, you're worth to him $250,000 to $500,000. It's like adding another cow to the dairy herd. They know exactly how much you're worth to them as a diabetic. And if you don't think that's true, next time you visit a doctor, ask to see his medical business office journals. You know, they have business journals for doctors. And see what they say about diabetic patients and heart patients and cancer patients and how much on the average. That's why people pick certain specialties, because there's big bucks in that area. Now, to me, this is criminal, because in 1957, we learned that we could prevent and cure adult onset diabetes in animals by supplementing with two trace minerals, chromium and vanadium. Chromium and vanadium. And 11 years ago, 1985, the medical school up at British Columbia, Vancouver, Canada, came out and said that the trace mineral vanadium alone could replace insulin for adult onset diabetics, who again make up 85% of the diabetic population. Besides that, dog food contains 40 minerals in a complete analysis, always contains lithium, chromium, vanadium, and selenium. Ralston Purina laboratory rat pellets always contains a minimum of 28 minerals, and they always contain lithium, chromium, vanadium, and selenium. Now, I'll give anybody in this audience a crisp new $100 bill if you can find me a human infant formula that contains more than 12 minerals. None of them contain lithium, chromium, vanadium, and only one, ProSoybe, the one that has 12, has selenium in it. None of the rest do. They have 11, 10, 9, or 8 minerals. That's why they call Similac Similac, because it lacks everything. Now, if I convinced you that minerals and nutrition are important to preventing disease and adding health and longevity to your life, you have to be responsible for this, because your doctor doesn't get 30 seconds worth of clinical nutrition in their medical school. As a result, this is a blind spot for them. It's something they never consider when a person comes in with a health challenge. They never consider this aspect of the disease. Now, you have to know three things about minerals. Number one, there's three types of mineral supplements. There's the original, going back since time immemorial, since the beginning of time. There's elemental or metallic minerals. These are things like limestone, oyster shell, eggshell, seabed minerals, coral calcium, things like clays of various types. Tums is a modern version of it. 8 to 12% availability to animals and people. We're not designed to consume ground-up rocks, if you will, to get our minerals. Have you ever wondered why people dread being 50 years old? Why the whole population of the world suddenly falls apart when they hit 50, you know, the teeth get loose, the hair goes, whatever you got left is gray, low back problems, high blood pressure, sugar in your urine, interest in sex goes away. Everybody dreads the big 5-0, right? Well, the reason is our ability to absorb these elemental types of minerals precipitously drops to 3 to 5%. About 3 years ago, a guy in Grand Rapids, Michigan, jumps up in the back of the room and says, "Hey, Doc, now I know what I see in my porta-potty business." I said, "What do you see in your porta-potty business?" He said, "Well, when we clean those things out and disinfect them so we can use them again, we find hundreds and hundreds of vitamin pills that come through people." I said, "Come on now, how do you know they're vitamin pills?" He said, "Well, it's easy. They say Theragram M, one a day, Centrum and Centrum Silver, right on the coating." So next time you're on the pot, you hear plop, plop, clink, clink. It's not poker chips coming through there. It's them pills. Are there any chiropractors in the audience tonight? Any chiropractors? Any chiropractors? Raise your hand so I can see. Kansas City, huh? Okay, well, the reason why I ask that is because chiropractors take spinal x-rays. And when a chiropractor takes a spinal x-ray, guess what he sees? He sees all these pills lined up. And if a person tends to be constipated, those pills line up like little boxcars waiting to come out. "Come on, let me out! Let me out! We want to get through." Now, a lot of people say to me, "Doc, listen, you know, are you kind of fibbing to us a little bit here, pulling our leg? I mean, I've taken 2,000 milligrams of calcium every day for 20 years. I take 1,000 milligrams, two of those 1,000 milligram tablets every day for 20 years, and I still have insomnia, foot cramps, toe cramps, high blood pressure, bone spurs, heel spurs, arthritis, loose teeth. My neck sounds like a bag full of gravel." And I said, "What kind do you take?" And they'll say calcium carbonate, calcium gluconate, calcium lactate, and that's the problem. Because out of a 1,000 milligram calcium lactate tablet, 86% or 860 milligrams is lactose or milk sugar. Only 14%, or 140 milligrams, is elemental or metallic calcium. And let's not use these complicated numbers up here for absorption and usability. Let's take 10% of the 140 milligrams. It's an honest number, and also it's easy math. 10% of 140 milligrams is 14 milligrams. So if you take two of those 1,000 milligram tablets a day of calcium lactate, or calcium carbonate, or calcium gluconate, you're not getting 2,000 milligrams of calcium. You're getting 2 times 14, or 28 milligrams. To get enough calcium, to get 2,000 milligrams of usable calcium from a calcium lactate 1,000 milligram tablet, you have to take 30 of those with each meal. You have to take 90 a day. That's almost a full 100 tablet bottle. And the cheapest, the $5 a bottle, it's $150 a month just for calcium. You have 59 more minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, and 3 essential fatty acids to go. So this is not an efficient way financially to take in minerals, because you got all these other nutrients to deal with. Plus you got the plop, plop, ding, ding factor, you know. And additionally, you're going to develop another physician-caused disease if they tell you to take this type of calcium. You're going to develop what I call BNF disease. BNF disease stands for belching and farting. If you take in 90 capsules of anything a day, you're going to develop BNF disease. You're going to sound like an elephant out in the woods with a horrible belly problem. And you know you got it when your spouse has to throw a canary in the bathroom to see if it's safe to go in there. Now, during the 60s, the animal industry came up with chelated minerals because no farmer is dumb enough to put a dollar in an animal's mouth and have 99 cents come out in the manure. So we learned by adding amino acids and proteins and enzymes, which are proteins that do work, to the elemental mineral, increases the absorbability from 3 to 5% to 40%. And everybody got excited about this during the 60s. And today, because of this research, you'll see a mixture of elemental minerals and chelated minerals in a good multivitamin mineral supplement, you know, a tablet. But the way that animals and people are designed to consume and absorb minerals is in the colloidal form. Colloidal minerals are 98% available to animals and people, 2.5 times more available than the chelated minerals, 10 times more available than elemental or metallic. They're liquid in form by definition. They cannot be powders and capsules and pills and tablets. They must be liquid. Small particle size. They're 7,000 times smaller than a red blood cell, and they're negatively charged. Is one of the unique things about a colloidal mineral, is they are all negatively charged, and as you know, like charges repel. So between being a small particle and they repel each other, they stay in suspension forever as long as you don't let the water evaporate. Now, the way it's supposed to be is that animals and human beings are supposed to eat plants, and the plants are supposed to take the elemental minerals out of the soil, convert them to colloidal minerals for their own use, for their own metabolism and biochemistry. We eat the plants, and that's how animals and people are designed to consume and absorb minerals. In the plant form, colloidal minerals. We are not designed to eat ground-up rocks. Unfortunately, U.S. Senate Document 264 in 1936 says there's no more minerals left in our farm and range soils. Unfortunately, in 1992, the Earth Summit in Rio says there's no more minerals left in our farm and range soils, and plants cannot manufacture minerals. If there's no minerals in the soil, they cannot convert these minerals to colloidal minerals, and they cannot manufacture minerals. Now, what about these long-lived cultures that were written up in the National Geographic in January of 1973? What's special about them? Is it genetic? No, they're all different races, they're all different religions, different cultures. The Tibetans from certain mountain tribes up there in the Himalayas, and the Hunzas in the eastern Pakistan and the Karakorum Mountains, the Russian Georgians, the Azerbaijanis, Abkhazians, and the Turkestanis in the Caucasus Mountains in western Russia, and the Vilcabamba Indians from the Andes of Ecuador, and my favorites, I just like the name, the Titicacas, in the Andes of Peru. What could possibly be a common denominator between all these peoples? Well, there are two. Number one, even though they're different religions and different races, they were all persecuted people. They were all victims being chased by the king's men or bandits or whatever, and they chose to live in what would be called the bad lands of their country. I mean, horrible, nothing, no soil, nothing but rock. And just out of the throw of the dice, nothing that they thought about, they picked places to live in that had 60 to 72 minerals in the parent rock of the mountains they chose to live in. Number two, they chose places that had less than 2 inches of precipitation a year. No rain, no snow to speak of. So they had to pick places that had a permanent water supply. And every one of these cultures picked places that were within 50 to 100 miles of glaciers, and they all built aqueducts to carry water from glaciers to their place where they lived and worked and farmed. Now, the water that comes out from underneath the glaciers is not clear, like tap water, Perrier, Evian, or glacier water, or geyser water, or Calistoga water. It's called glacial milk because the water that comes out from underneath the glaciers has so much rock dust or rock flour suspended in it that it's called glacial milk. It looks like whole milk, kind of a bluish-white, bluish-gray, as opposed to clear. And if you boil away a quart of glacial milk, you get 2 inches of minerals in the bottom of that quart jug. By contrast, boil away a quart of Evian or Perrier water at $20 a gallon. I mean, we're talking price here compared to gasoline. Would you ever have thought that water would be more expensive than gasoline? Kind of interesting, isn't it? Now, you boil away a quart of Evian or Perrier water, you'll get as much mineral as you get on the head of a pin. A big contrast. Now, not only did these people drink this highly mineralized water and get 8 to 12% and 3 to 5% after age 50 because it's metallic minerals, it's ground up rocks as these glaciers move up and down the mountains. More important than drinking it, they irrigated with it. Week after week, month after month, year after year, generation after generation, for 2,500 to 5,000 years, they irrigated with this glacial milk. They replaced literally thousands of tons of these minerals back into the soil every year through this irrigation with this glacial milk. And all their plants are rich with these colloidal minerals as a result. And all we do is put in NPK, 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 and it takes 5 to 10 years to deplete these nutritional minerals from our soil. As a result, last year we paid $1.2 trillion, with a T, $1.2 trillion for health care. These people don't get diabetes. They don't get heart disease, osteoporosis, arthritis, cancer. They don't get glaucoma. They don't get cataracts. They don't have birth defects. They don't have jails full of violent criminals and drug addicts. They don't have a single hospital. They don't have Blue Cross, Blue Shield, major medical hospitalization. They don't have a single doctor, and they don't have these diseases, and they live to be over 120 to 140. Now, can you live to be over 120, 140 without colloidal minerals? No. Can you get all these colloidal minerals out of our food supply in the United States? No. Well, can you keep all the things that we love about the United States? Because if I were to pay your way to go there and live and guarantee you live to be over 100, you wouldn't do it because they don't have 10 more kitchens, they don't have electricity, they don't have central heat, central air, they don't have roads, they don't have cars, they don't have televisions, they don't have television channel changers. I mean, how can you be a couch potato without a television channel changer? So can you have all these things we love about America, you know, including health insurance, and still get colloidal minerals? And the answer is, of course, yes. These colloidal minerals are available to you. They've been around since 1926. And, of course, they're plant-derived. They actually come from an ancient prehistoric plant deposit. About 1926, there was this prospector who was an abysmal failure in southeastern Utah who noticed when he, even though he couldn't find gold or silver, but he did notice when he drank this funky-tasting water in the stream, the only water source available to him, after a couple of weeks, his arthritis went away. And he backtracked this stream, and he found that it originated in a prehistoric valley that had a forest in it. And when these trees and brush and grasses took up all the elemental minerals from the soil, converted them to colloidal minerals for their own use, there was a cataclysmic event. That forest was entombed, that valley in that forest was entombed by a volcanic eruption. A very thin layer of mud, ash, and lava, not heavy enough to compress this stuff into coal or oil. And it was very arid in there, not enough moisture to fossilize or petrify this plant material. So today, if you look at it, it just looks like real dark chocolate coffee grounds. You squeeze it between your fingers, it is the same consistency as a chocolate chip you might put in an oatmeal cookie. It's kind of waxy. That's because it's not rock, it's ground up plant material. We grind this stuff up into a flour, we soak it in a filtered spring water for 4 to 6 weeks, and we leach those colloidal minerals out of those plants that were taken up in the prehistoric days. Things that you can't get out of your soil and your food anymore today. And of course, that's been around since 1926. We have liquid multiples that have been around 10 years and 1 year and so forth, and these are all available to you also. I want to thank you all very much. God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Well, folks, that's it for the Dr. Wallach presentation tonight. Let me give you the phone numbers one more time, and if you haven't called, now's the time to do so. It's 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405. 1-888-403-2405 or 1-888-701-0502. That's 1-888-701-0502. Let me give you the numbers one more time. 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405 or 1-888-701-0502. That's 1-888-701-0502.
the sand trampled father from your fingers and your thumb. And you were waiting for the miracle, for the miracle to come. Let's get married. We've been alone too long. Let's be alone together. Let's see if we're that strong. Yeah, let's do something crazy, something absolutely wrong.
Ah, what was that all about? Anybody know? Phones are open, 520-333-4578. Did I hear him say, let's be alone together and see if we're that strong? I think that's a song about hopelessness, waiting for the miracle to come. Of course, it never did. Is that your life? 520-333-4578 is the number. We'll be taking your calls for the rest of this hour. While we're waiting for our first call, let me give the numbers out again. 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405 or 1-888-701-0502. That's 1-888-701-0502. And that'll put you in touch with the people who can get you some information on how you can get started making your health better. What are you doing, Crusher? Crusher brought his Kong in here and wants to play. Kong is a big, giant, rubber, really hard rubber thing. It's real big, shaped kind of like a cone, that big dogs like Crusher use to play with and chew on. And he's been chewing on it for a couple of years now and hasn't even made a dent in it or a chip out of this thing. It's incredible. So, once again, the number is 520-333-4578. Let me make sure. Yep, that's working. The phone is working. We are having some thunderstorms here, or we did have earlier, a little rain. I was fearful that we might lose power to the station or lose the phone line, but we did not. So, but this is weird. This is very strange, which makes me wonder if WBCQ is still broadcasting. 520-333-4578 is the number. And let me, well, here's somebody. We'll see what's going on. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. It's Rick Martin. How are you?
Oh, hi, Rick. How are you doing?
Hey, we're doing fine.
Wonderful.
Want to talk to you a little bit about Dr. Wallach. We haven't had a chance to talk.
Okay.
So I wanted to tell you that starting in January, we ordered the product.
Uh-huh.
And I remember talking to you about it. And we start taking it. Barbara and I both start taking it. And it's been really, really good. It's helped a lot.
Well, the listeners might remember that during one of the broadcasts, I talked about Barbara's problem for a little bit.
Right.
And was hoping that she was listening. I didn't know if you or Barbara were listening that night. Apparently you were. And you did send in and get your wholesale capability and started using it. Well, tell us all about it. What happened?
Well, what happened was we... And I want to explain this a little bit to the listeners, too, because and they don't know much about our situation, but my wife had a diagnosis of chronic fatigue disorder, and as a result of that, we had been taken her to a naturalist physician that was referred to us from a physician in California who'd written a book on the human growth hormone. And as a result of that, we had connected with him, and we were asking him about different nutritional formulas and vitamins and minerals, and we were talking about just discussing generally about how we would take vitamins and minerals. And I asked him if there's any ideal way to take these things, and that we had been exposed to a system that would involve the use of colloidal vitamins and minerals. And I said, is that an accepted system? And he said, well, there is no other way. And I went, really? So he confirmed for us from another source that this was a very appropriate way to take these vitamins and minerals. And so we decided to incorporate those into her program. And the results have been very, very good. We've seen some dramatic improvement in her condition. And I took them as well. And I've seen some... I'll tell you the thing that was interesting. You mentioned about eyesight.
Uh-huh.
And I had taken a trip to California here a few months ago, and I had gotten up early, and we'd gone to the airport, and we're sitting in the plane, and I had dozed off, and I had not put my contact lenses in before I had left the house. And the plane began to move, and I remember looking out the window, waking up and looking out the window, and the first thing I thought... I rubbed my eyes, and I poked Barbara, and she was dozing, and she woke up, and I said, honey, I said, did I put my contacts in this morning? And she said, no, your glasses are hanging on your shirt. And the reason why that came to issue is I was looking out the window, and I'm far-sighted with an astigmatism, Bill, and I'm looking down out the window of the plane, and this has been the first time I'd really... seen any distance, I guess, since I just woke up, and I was seeing cars and trees. Things were clearly in focus, and I was kind of shocked. I went, what's that about? Then I remembered what you had said on your program about your distance vision becoming more acute.
Yeah, the same thing happened to me. I'm nearsighted with an astigmatism, which I think is really what you meant to say. If you can't see good far off, you're nearsighted.
Mm-hmm.
What
I have is a farsighted with an astigmatism combo.
Oh, I see.
And as a result of that, I wear monovision contacts. One focus is close up, and one focus is far away.
I see.
So as a result, in order to get clear vision far away,
uh-huh,
correct for my astigmatism, I can have one lens, and then in order to read, I have to have another lens.
Yeah.
So it's a very strange combination, but this clarity of vision. So I kind of ran around California with these little reading glasses hooked on my nose, and I was able to function quite effectively without the other lens.
Well, that's exactly what happened to me. I was taking this stuff, and normally to see anything at any distance, I have to put on my glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the sink one morning and poured myself a cup of coffee on the counter, and then looked out the window, and I could see everything in the valley as far as I could look, just as if I had 20/20 vision.
Incredible.
And that was really spooky. It was really spooky. And so now I can sit outside and look at the view without my glasses, and it's really nice. I can read things far away now, too.
Well, I'll tell you, it's just been amazing to me. And what I've done, I've started a little control group of my own back here. And as you know, we live in the northeastern area of Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And we have a group of little over 100 people now that we've exposed to the system. And you know, the thing that's interesting, we're running about 1 to 5% of those that actually get the tapes and listen and then actually change their habits and begin to use the product. It's very interesting. I find that fascinating. I know it takes a change in the way we deal with some of these things to do that. But of the 1 to 5% that have been experimenting with these products, we're darn near 100% of the people that are doing it that are getting very positive results.
Wow, that's wonderful.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Here in this valley, we've had some absolutely astounding results with this. We know a woman who was literally on her deathbed, and I mean literally on her deathbed. She could barely move. She could not get up and walk at all. She had the smell of death about her, and the doctors were actually retarding her nutrition in her diet and giving her more medicine. And she was, I am sure that she was a week or two away from dying. And a friend of mine suggested to her that at that point she had nothing to lose. She didn't have to give up what the doctor was giving her, but she should at least try this. And so she did. Guess what? She's up going about. She's active. She's talking all the time. She answers her door. She's healthy and it's got her energy back, and she's eating like a horse, all because of Dr. Wallach's stuff.
Okay. Bill, this is absolutely incredible. And, you know, the way I explain it to people, I ask them if they know how a water softener works. And, you know, here in our part of the world, we have water softened water. A lot of us have wells, so they understand what I'm talking about. But I tell them to picture in their mind the rosin, and when the water flows in from the ground, it's got iron and sulfur in it, and it sticks to the rosin. And then the water softener company sets this thing in every couple of weeks or so. They'll backwash, the system will kick in and use a brine solution and backwash this rosin, expelling the iron and sulfur and contaminants. And I said, this is what's happening with the colloidal vitamins and minerals, because in a water softener, there's an electrical exchange that takes place, very simply. It's a little more complicated than that, but there is an electrical exchange that expels the contaminants, recharging the rosin and allowing the rosin to then accept more contaminants.
Uh-huh.
And of course, when the colloidal vitamins and minerals pass into our digestive system, the electrical exchange that takes place allows them to pass at the 95 to 100% rate, and they go straight into the bloodstream. And when I explain that to folks, they kind of go, wow, that's really cool.
It is.
So I'm just amazed.
Well, it's what amazes me is the amount of nutrition and minerals that's in this. Every time you get a shipment, you get the analysis. And if you look at the analysis, there really are 72 minerals and, God, I don't know how many vitamins. But it's the whole spectrum of things that everyone needs and never or hardly ever gets.
Yeah, it's really quite amazing. And I was with Barbara last night. We were looking at, you know, he had the thing on one of his tapes that you sent me. He had the liver spots section on there. Was talking about that, and we were just kind of, I was checking over Barbara's back, you know, just looking over. I said, gee, I said, that's really kind of neat. I said, these things are actually fading away, just like he said. And I'm just, everything that I do in relation to the product, I play the tapes, and then I've got to confirm it. You know, I've got to see that it works for me or for her, and then I feel comfortable telling people that, hey, this really works.
Sure.
And so much of it, so far, we've been able to get confirmation on. And it's been really exciting. We're having a good time.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, when we first did this on the broadcast, we had several hundred people send in their request for information. We sent it off. They sent back their application so that they could purchase these at the wholesale price instead of paying the retail price, which is so much more. And they sent in their $6 with their application, and we sent it in. And then they got their order forms and their brochures and all of the information that you use to order, and they didn't order anything.
You know, Bill,
I think that's incredible.
Well,
I don't understand.
I kind of understand it in a way, because when everything came, I know Barbara and I had been taking minerals and vitamins on our own before.
Uh-huh.
And when this system came in, we looked through the brochures. Again, we listened to the tape. And, of course, I had the benefit of listening to your programs and listening to the tapes that you'd send in addition. And, of course, we had an impetus for change because, of course, Barbara being sick and all, we wanted to get on this and try this as soon as possible. But, you know, even then, it still took. I think I got exposed to it in November when I heard you when we were on vacation. I heard you over shortwave, and then I called you when I got back to ask you what was going on. And you said, hey, I don't know, it works for me. But we got exposed to it at that time, and then it took until January before we really got on the product. So I understand people's reluctance to change, and, of course, it's a change of habit. Because I take mine at night, and Barbara takes hers. I mix hers up in the morning in two batches because I give her 2 ounces a day of the we do the minerals, we do the vitamins, I do the oxy aloe, and then I mix the 5 ounces of the calcium-enriched orange juice, and I mix up 2 of those for her in the morning. So it actually had to become part of me. I had to make it part of her, where we actually got into the habit of mixing it up and doing it every day. But, you know, once we got past that, we kind of miss it when we don't do it.
Well, what I miss is when I don't do it, and there's been a couple of days when I've missed, I start getting tired again. And when I start back up, of course, that tiredness goes away.
Yeah, you know, I knew, because when I talked to you about this originally, and, you know, of course, meeting you at the conference and going through that and seeing the pain, and I know you never complained about any of that, but I did notice, you know, how you would limp on into the evening, and you appeared to be physically just in discomfort.
Oh,
and
yeah.
When you reported that, you know, it hit home, because, of course, I related it to our experience we had at the conference, and are you saying that pain was going, your energy level went up? Boy, that was enough for me. I said, I want to try this.
Well, it did. The pains have gone away in my legs, and they were excruciating, just absolutely terrible.
We're real tickled. We just keep experimenting with it, and we keep working with it. We keep inviting people to join the group. We challenge them to try it and see. And it's an exciting thing. Of course, a lot of what I do in the legal end is so depressing. I mean, this is exciting. So I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. So I just want to tell you that it's been going real well, and I appreciate you exposing us to it. And I hope that that everything continues to work out okay for you as well.
Well, thank you, Rick. And I'm so happy to hear that Barbara is much better.
Thanks, Bill. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay.
You take care. Tell the family hello for us.
I will.
Bye-bye.
Good night, and thanks for calling.
Good night.
Well, I think we got maybe room for one more call, and then we'll have to shuffle on off to wherever for the end of this broadcast. 520-333-4578 is the number if you'd like to call. And as I said, we have maybe time for one more phone call. And if we don't get one, then we'll just shuffle on off anyway. I was so happy to see the rain today. And I don't know about you, but when rain falls here, the air just smells so wonderful. Everything just perks up, and the grass across the valley starts to get green, and everybody smiles. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Bill. Good afternoon, Bill. Who is the person that you have singing on those records?
Which records?
Well, the songs that you play.
Which songs that I play? I play different songs every night.
Yeah, well, there's one fellow's got a very deep voice. That's why I don't know who it is. That's why I was calling in.
When did you hear it?
Just right after Dr.
Are you talking about the one that I played tonight? That's Leonard Cohen.
Leonard Cohen?
Uh-huh.
All right. I appreciate that. He's very good.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Right.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Well, that wraps it up, folks. We don't have time for any more calls, but we do have time to close out with some music. Good night, everybody. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night. We'll have a live broadcast and be talking about an awful lot of things that have been happening lately. And God bless each and every single one of you.
There's no reason for you to lose your mind, 'cause I've seen something that's gonna change our time. If I could, I'd make you understand. If I could, I'd make you understand. There's no hurry, it's gonna come for sure. And I know that someday we're gonna end our war. If I change our time.